Mental.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Legacy Lands application window started July 1st, as you guys all know. And so July 1st and 2nd, and then, of course, the office was closed on the 3rd for the 4th of July holiday, and then office has been open on Monday. So 3 days, and we've had 23 applications, all ranging from 600-plus acres of land down to, you know, 10 to 20-acre parcels. So a lot of interest in that program.
This is Commissioner Rhett Ryle, Santa Rosa County, and yesterday when they had the committee meeting, they're going to have the regular meeting on Thursday. Committee's like the agenda review, basically, for Santa Rosa. It always drives me crazy that all these different organizations, everything's just a little bit different. It's like going into other people's houses, you know, like they put the blender in the wrong place. It's kind of like everybody calls their meetings by different things. They're all on a different schedule. They all have different protocols. They all have different, you know, ways of organizing information, some better, some worse. It's not that the blender has to be here. It's just that I know that's a bad place for it, you know, by comparison with the other friend who's got it right here on the counter where it's easy to use. Anyway, I digress. Rhett Ryle, who, yes, we all think of Scooby-Doo when we say his name. Even he does. It's funny. But when... Who's coming down the hall? Row, you know, oh, thanks, Scrappy. So anyway, yesterday talking about the legacy lands concept, which is a way of preserving, you know, conservation land in Santa Rosa County. We've talked about this many times before. You've got not only the idea that farmland needs to be protected because, gosh, it's important to have farms. And, you know, instead of everybody selling their land off to build houses on, because as Ryan Jenkins and others like to say is, you know, once you plant a house, you never plant anything else. And that's important to understand because we need land. Not just need it to expand, but we need it to be preserved as raw land, but also because of just conservation, right? Part of what makes this country great is having lots of open space and trees and, you know, animals can run around and insects can run around and all that. Anyway, so he's been big because District 3 is like the north end, the rural part of Santa Rosa County, and he's been big on trying to develop this plan. And one of the things that they put in place, this Legacy Lands, is they've already had applications, lots of people that are interested, as you heard him say, even though it's only been in place for, you know, a couple of days, basically, at this point. They've already got lots of people kind of asking, hey, how do we partake? You know, how can we let the county buy down our development rights? That's one way to protect land is, you know, the county might offer you compensation for the opposite of upzoning, downzoning. You know, right now, if you try to upzone, that means that you can build more density in an area. Let's say you live in a subdivision and it's 4 units per acre is the zoning, let's imagine. And you might say, well, gosh, I want to build apartments. Well, you have to get permission to go to 10 or 15 an acre or whatever it is that you want to do. And because more density means more impact on the neighbors, and the neighbors have a say, and then the community has a say, and ultimately the commissioners, or if it's in the city council, whatever, would have a say on that. So upzoning is where you ask for greater density because greater density is more of a problem for the neighbors, essentially. And downzoning is the opposite of that. Downzoning is less of a problem for the neighbors because, you know, fewer people, fewer problems, fewer incidents, less traffic, less demand on sewer, less demand on electricity. You get the point. But downzoning benefits the community in a way because it protects land and it protects space and, again, the farming and everything else. But right now, if nobody in their right mind would ever apply for a downzoning because what do you gain from it? Yay, I voluntarily give up the ability to develop my land and make it more profitable in exchange for what? Well, nothing. You just put a limit on your own economic, you know, value because you can't sell land with less zoning capability for as much because less profit can be made on the land. I mean, I know I'm kind of for those of you who know, this is really easy. But sometimes, you know, it's helpful to explain the basic things because not everybody knows. And, you know, if you'd asked me like 15 years ago before I ever moved here, like, what's zoning? I would have, what? What are you talking about? I don't know. So, you know, sometimes the teacher in me likes to explain things. Anyway, part of the idea of conserving land is giving people the opportunity to downzone it in exchange for some kind of compensation. And that's a part of a strategy for protecting land in Santa Rosa County. And so what Rutrall wants to do is he wants to see if there's maybe a way we can offer an even lower zoning for land than the current lowest category, which is one unit or one structure for 15 acres.
Creating an ag legacy zoning of 1 to 30. It would obviously be 100% completely voluntary. We cannot force someone to go to take a lower dense, you know, zoning. So 100% voluntary.
Yeah, and which is, of course, that he wants to make sure that people know we're not trying to forcibly downzone them. And I actually, I've kind of raised the question. I don't know if it's feasible. It might not even be legal. But I've actually raised the question of, should there not be some compensation that goes back and forth between landowners and the government for higher or lower density zoning? You know, if you want to upzone your property, which happens all the time, people all the time ask for the ability to upzone something so that they can, you know, build some kind of business that you normally wouldn't be able to build, or build apartments where you could only build houses, or build four houses per acre where you could only build one per acre, which is an agricultural zoning, a typical agricultural zoning. And, you know, they ask, and then the neighbors come and say whether they care or not, and then the government says okay or not okay. But I've often wondered if you shouldn't charge for that. You know, if there shouldn't be a fee. You know, some kind of compensation. You know, you can put this in the form of money. I don't know whether the money should go to the government or should go to the neighbors. It may be a pointless exercise in the end. It might not be something you can do, might not even be legal, but it's sort of occurred to me that if what we're talking about is an inconvenience to the neighbors by upzoning, then why shouldn't people be compensated for that? I mean, you know, if the neighbors don't want there to be a business built there because that's an inconvenience, why not pay them for it? Well, we don't do it that way, but anyway, that's just kind of my thought. And the opposite goes the same, is if you're willing to downzone, you know, maybe people should pay you for that, or the government should pay you for that. Anyway, he's saying, I'd like to offer another category below our lowest density right now, which is 15 acres for one unit. Let's go to 30 for one or something else.
We have roughly 45,000 acres inside the rural protection zone that is zoned 1 to 15. Most of that is timberlands.
So lots of timberland that's at the lowest zoning right now because, obviously, you know, you do grow houses on that land, you just grow them in a really raw form because you grow trees, right, which is like a house in the very, very early stages.
It provides a clear roadmap. If you have 1 to 15 currently, there's no other down zone. So if you want to go into a conservation easement, which, again, happens all the time, and there is no clear pathway, it becomes a little subjective. You know, for instance, if I have 150 acres and I want to enter in and all my land is zone 1 to 15, well, then we're then coming up with a zoning. Do I want to allow one unit per 50 acres, one to 100. This would just give a little bit of direction for those landowners that have a 1 to 15 zoning.
So if people had that already zoned agricultural timber, whatever, where you can only build one structure for 15 acres, could we give them something even lower, 1 to 30, 1 to 40, 1 to 50, 1 to 100, something like that? I mean, you could theoretically go to zero. You know, you could have zero structures allowed on the land. I'm not sure. And how much extra value is that is also not clear to me, but it's an interesting theory that, because, you know, if you have 30 acres, let's say, or, you know, I don't know, 90 acres, and it's at 1 to 15, well, you could build six houses there. But if you zone it for 1 to 30, you can only build three. So, you know, you're getting, the community essentially is gaining less density in the long run if they allow it to be reduced from six down to three or down to one or down to zero. And so could you not offer people the opportunity to do that? That's what he's talking about, is let's create a category so that people can lower the density on land and therefore conserve it better.
I'm all for saving more farmland, put more in conservation.
This is Bobby Burkett.
My only concern, it's voluntary. They can already do this, that they've volunteered to do it. I mean, I see what you're saying. My only concern is we're creating another level of government, bureaucracy.
What?
I'm for you. If that's what you want to do, that's just my only concern is we're creating another level of government red tape.
What are you talking about? There's no additional government red tape. There's no additional bureaucracy. There's no, like, the conservation board that's going to be created. It's just creating another category into which land can fall and about which people like the, you know, or things like the Land Development Code or the Planning Commission could have a say. I don't know what he's talking. I think he misunderstood the concept, which, you know, that happens. I hope he understood it by the end of the conversation, or maybe he's listening this morning. You never know. But maybe it makes more sense to him now. Anyway, this is all preliminary. This is all, you know, Rhett was basically just feeling out the commission and seeing if they had an interest in all this. He went at the Florida Association of Communities counties, FAC, or FAC, they often call it. And he was part of a panel talking about land conservation. And, you know, they bandied about a bunch of different ideas and talked about what could be done, because this is a statewide concern, is people all over the state want to make sure that we have conservation land for the natural beauty of it, conservation land for the, you know, just the various values that having natural things around carries, including for wildlife, and not just for beauty or recreation, but also conserving for the sake of farmland and protecting aquifers and all the stuff that conservation, you know, carries in the state of Florida. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We'll see where they wind up going with all of this. If you're looking at that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to start. And I say start because, you know, I mean, you may not wind up buying from them. I don't know. I'm not sure why you wouldn't. But if, you know, you don't, that's fine. But start there. Here's why. First of all, they have a lot of cars. So, you know, and it's all almost new, like 1, 2, 3 years old, you know, 10, 30,000 miles, that kind of vicinity. Everything they sell, they warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years. You know, it's going to be in good shape. They only buy A-conditioned cars, you know, like the grade A, B, C, D, like A-conditioned cars. And they sell them to you knowing that they're going to take care of you if there's any kind of issue because they got that warranty in place. But the point is you can start there because you can see in one location all the different varieties. You know, all the different sedans, all the different SUVs, all the different, you know, Jeeps, which they have, you know, sports cars, whatever. And you can compare them side by side and test drive a lot of them and then see what you like, what fits you, what really performs the way you want it to. And then, you know, maybe they have what you want and it'll always be a good price because they're always trying to take care of folks. If it's not exactly what you want that they have in stock, they can go shopping for you. You know, they go to auctions and all kinds of car buying opportunities all the time. And they might go looking for a higher trim level or a different color or fewer miles or more miles because you don't want to pay as much. Whatever the case may be, think of them as kind of like your personal car buyers. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get 2 phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence Data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Get ready for the News Radio 92.3 Naval Aviation Museum Foundation broadcast of the 2026 Blue Angels Air Show on Pensacola Beach. Hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio or download our app. Then tune in Friday at 2 and then Saturday starting at 11 to hear all the narration from the News Radio team and the Blue Angels. Brought to you by Jim's Firearms, Dale's Marine Construction, Quality Roofing Solutions, Pensacola Beach RV Resort, and Buggy Works.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer at a beverage manufacturing plant, he starts his day knowing every line is ready to run. Because Grainger delivers the industrial-grade products he needs to keep mixers, conveyors, and packaging equipment moving. With Grainger's vast selection of bearings, belts, and motors, he keeps operations running smoothly, so nothing grinds to a halt. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Wolverines!
Good morning, 526, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, this was a very, it's worth knowing, okay, from a safety perspective. You're not a big, like, snorkeler, swimmer, like, you know,
any kind
of
activity. No, I'm not.
Okay, all right. Well, yesterday, I think it was on the 4th. I don't think it was yesterday. But you had, you know, the Destin Pass has been known to be an unsafe place because people get caught in the water rushing out.
Oh, sure.
And then, you know, they're trying to swim and they, you know, cannot swim effectively. And so they have to be rescued. Well, there was a rescue. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Department has a marine unit, and they actually rescued a couple of people who were snorkeling in the past and got kind of, you know, swept out into the Gulf, basically.
Easy to do. Have you ever been swept out?
They put out the body camera for it. Studio 850 had it shared on their page. And I love John Singley. He's such a good,
he's great.
Great source of information. Great. Anyway, and this is what it sounded like as they were trying to rescue them.
Right here.
That's the sheriff's deputies yelling at him, trying to throw him the life circle, you know, the red life preserver.
Right here, grab this.
And then they're pulling him up into the boat, hauling the woman in first. She's safe. And getting the guy in.
You got him?
And you always wonder, like, are they locals? Are they vacationers? What's going on?
Hey, man, are you hurt anywhere?
No, sir.
No, get this from around your neck.
Thank you.
That's the, you know, the snorkel that's kind of around him, and I think is what they were talking about at that point.
Where'd y'all come from?
Georgia.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
just lay back and relax, okay? Put these on.
Life preserves.
Put it on your head.
And so, you know, where are they from? They're from Georgia, you know. Well, were you on the beach? Were you on a boat? Because they don't know. I mean, maybe a boat capsized. You don't know. They just found these people floating in the, you know, I don't know how far out from the, you know, bridge they were, but My wife and I, we go paddleboarding. I love to snorkel. In fact, snorkeling around the Destin Pass is it's a very attractive area because there's lots of, you know, marine life right in that vicinity. But this is something that we talk about all the time. If we ever do go in that area, it is a dangerous area to go. I mean, and it's a very appealing area to go. I mean, I've, you know, snorkeled with dolphins in that area. Like, it's right by the Coast Guard station. There's a lot of stuff there. Crab Island is just a little ways away. And people don't realize because Crab Island is, you know, you view that as being such a safe area. But when the tides are moving or when the, you know, water is flowing out, it can grab you pretty quick and you don't know. And so for me, what I was thinking is, I know, like, I'm 55, okay? I'm relatively healthy. I've been swimming my whole life. I'm a relatively good swimmer. I'm not in great shape. I'm no Dave Greenwood or anything like that. But I love to snorkel, and we've snorkeled in that area, and my wife's always kind of raised the question. But I know for me, when I snorkel, I always wear fins. Always wear fins. 100% of the time I wear fins. And the reason is simple, because I can swim a lot better with fins. You can cover a lot more territory. And I will tell you, for me, I feel like unless the water is super rough, in which case the water is spilling over into your snorkel and making it hard to breathe, which a good, you know, a decent snorkel, you can clear that out. But still, that's a different scenario. But as long as the water is relatively calm, I feel generally like I can swim and snorkel in an unlimited duration. It's not that taxing. You have a lot of power when you have swim fins on. You can cover a lot of territory. And so my question was, well, did they have fins on? And of course, they did not. And I will tell you, the difference between swimming to keep alive and fight a current when you don't have fins on versus having them on is tremendous. I learned this when we were up at Lake Martin. Going to jump off the chimney rock, I swam over there with no fins on, because that's what you do. And I'm like, oh, God, this is exhausting. So a word of, you know, advice, caution, whatever you want to say it is, if you're going to go snorkeling anywhere, I strongly recommend you do fins. It'll be more fun for you. It also might save your life, quite frankly.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump, the NATO summit in Turkey, delivers a strong message to Iran about the ceasefire.
To me, I think it's over.
And his hits at the leaders of the Islamic Republic continue.
They're liars. They're cheats. They're sick people.
Fox's Mark Meredith joins us from Turkey.
This all comes after airstrikes the U.S. launched overnight, targeting a number of different facilities across southern Iran, including command and control centers, as well as small Iranian vessels, which have basically been causing terror attacks against some of the commercial ships trying to get through the Strait of Hormuz.
Iran responds by targeting American military sites in the Gulf. Day three of the preliminary hearing for the alleged assassin of conservative icon Charlie Kirk. Tuesday's question of an investigator placed Tyler Robinson in a wooded area where the murder weapon was found. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 79 degrees right now. It is partly cloudy. This morning, we'll get a look at our forecast with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. That's up here in about 3 minutes. Well, an Uber pickup apparently turned into an armed robbery Monday in Escambia County. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says 32-year-old Quayshawn McKinney got into a driver's car near Lillian Highway and 52nd Avenue and reportedly held that driver at gunpoint. Shots were fired but only struck the vehicle. McKinney's been charged with aggravated assault, possession of a weapon by a convicted felon, burglary, and property damage. He's being held without bond. A key ruling has been made now in the manslaughter case against former Gulf Breeze plastic surgeon Ben Brown. A judge on Tuesday allowed the chief medical examiner to testify freely at trial about the cause of death of Brown's wife, Hillary, who died in 2023 following cosmetic surgeries performed by her husband. Brown's defense argued that Dr. Deanna Oleski lacked the toxicology expertise to determine whether Hillary died from lidocaine toxicity. The judge disagreed after a five-hour hearing. Brown's trial has been postponed. The new date has not yet been announced. Escambia Fire Rescue wants every home in the county to have a working smoke detector. Training Captain Joel Richardson says if you need one installed, the agency will do it for free.
We have a free smoke detector installation program. The number to call is 595-HERO, and that can schedule one of our fire departments or a newly hired community risk reduction officer to come to your home and install one to make sure that you have the key elements for early notification to help prevent any further damage to your home or also to you as our citizens.
And Richardson says early notification just means everything in a house fire. He also says having a fire extinguisher near the kitchen is a good thing to have. Get one for your kitchen, make sure to look for ABC or dry chemical on the label and keep it on the way out of the kitchen. He says not to keep that under the sink. Well, Santa Rosa County is getting a new county attorney. The board is set to formally approve an employment contract this week with Jennifer Rogers, who will take over as county attorney effective October 1st. The same day, current county attorney Tom Danheiser plans to retire. Danheiser has been with the county for years. He's been part of a deliberate handoff process, with Rogers coming on first as assistant county attorney to learn the organization before stepping into the top role. At yesterday's committee meeting, Chairman Wright told Danheiser that it's been a pleasure having him on board. Right now we've got 534 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a very hot day today with a 30% chance of rain, high near 92 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, 30% chance of rain, high near 91. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Heading into Friday, mostly sunny skies, 30% chance of rain, high near 91. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 82. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it's 79 degrees right now. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Apple has reportedly begun testing DRAM chips from China's state-backed Changxin Memory Technologies for devices sold within China. The Financial Times reports the company is lobbying the U.S. government to permit broader use of its products. Shares of Chinese autonomous driving firm Momenta rose 3% on its debut in Hong Kong this morning in a $751 million initial public offering. The company said it plans to use 60% of the net proceeds over the next 5 years to enhance its core technology. While OpenAI reportedly proposed giving the Trump administration a stake in the company, call sheet traders see long odds that such a deal could occur this year. Just last week, the Financial Times reported that the artificial intelligence giant proposed granting the U.S. government a 5% stake. However, call sheet traders see odds of less than 30% that the U.S. government could take a stake in OpenAI or Anthropic. Futures are sharply lower after President Trump declares that the Iran ceasefire is over. That's Your Money Now.
Billy Anderson here with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The team at Anderson Subaru is proud to join the celebration of 250 years of American freedom. Now through July 31st, you'll get a free American flag when you buy any new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Right now, you get 0.9% financing for 75 months or $1,500 off TSRP on 2026 Ascent models. Plus, you can get 3.9% financing for 48 months or $1,500 off TSRP on any new Forester hybrid in stock. And we have 1.9% financing for 75 months or $1,500 off TSRP on any new Outback in stock. Take home a Subaru, grab a flag, and celebrate America's historic milestone. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Woo! Summer's heating up and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new cherry cola pork burnt ends, some brisket mac and cheese or slider trio, and finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. With four locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
A statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 539, News Radio 92.3. Happy Wednesday. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and yesterday had a good opportunity to talk to our dear friend Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Welcome back to the show, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I think we got the right one. Yes, I know it's hard to figure out which
I'm
one
sorry.
It is. No, it's not your fault. It's a confusing system.
Say good morning again. Good morning again.
There it is. We had a shots fired at Oakwood Terrace last night.
We did. Had a guy that was shooting at someone, apparently. We have not identified the individual they were shooting at, but when we get there, we found that they the two bullet holes in a car, and this dude, his name is, Marcellus Lige, L-I-G-E. He took off, jumped a fence or two, a wall or two, and we were able to surround him and place him under arrest. And so there's that.
Okay. All right. Just because it's still going on around my house, a lot of fireworks still happening, even though it's not technically legal anymore, you know, on the 5th, on the 6th, on the 7th. I'm sure tonight it'll be more of that. Any issues particularly with gunfire this year? Any issues with fireworks this year particularly?
No. I mean, we have the normal calls of people are shooting them too late. People are letting their
children
drift into their yard and all that sort of thing. But nothing of major significance.
Okay, very. Nobody throwing mortar rounds of fireworks at each other as games.
Not that we got a report of.
That's
not,
all taking place downtown. So, all right, yeah. Fair enough. Let's go back. You know, it's been 2 weeks since we've talked to you, so we're gonna play catch up on a couple of stories that took place. You know, right before I went on vacation and when you were not here last week. But there was a body found behind Walmart on 29 decomposing. What do we know?
Well, yeah, it was in a very advanced state of decomposition, had a smell to it, and we do not believe foul play is suspected. We don't have the final report from the medical examiner, but everything indicates that a death of natural causes or a drug-related death.
Okay, which happens, unfortunately.
Unfortunately,
you guys have
happen,
to deal
yes.
with that, too. We had a man charged with aggravated assault after an argument that took place over a pack of cigarettes, is that right? And then this led to you guys surrounded him or something and with the SWAT team.
Yeah. He and another guy got into an argument, or he confronted the guy at the victim's house over a pack of cigarettes. I don't know who owed who cigarettes or someone took cigarettes. But apparently he also threatened him with a firearm.
Okay.
And then he left and went to his trailer. And then we found him there, and then we knocked in on the door, and he didn't come out. So we got a warrant, and then we got the SWAT team en route. And once the SWAT team got there, he decided we meant it this time.
Yeah.
You know, and so we gave up.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I want to talk about the knocking and entering, because that was a big Florida State Supreme Court case that came down last Friday. We'll talk about that in a minute. We also had a woman who was ramming a bunch of cars in Walmart, and she was a DUI. These are all kind of late in June, so we're still playing catch-up from some of that stuff. But what was going on here?
Well, some lady that appeared to us to be highly intoxicated. She hit one pedestrian, as I understand it, not life-threatening injuries, and then she rammed several cars, I'm going to say 6-7 cars. And when we got there, she's still in the car. And
sorry, you said 6-7. I have to react.
I should know better than to look over at your direction.
Anyway, I did the hands thing. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, she rammed a few cars, and then when we get there, she's still in the car, in the driver's seat, and you can see that she's trying to gun it. She's got her foot on the accelerator. The front tires are trying to move, but because there's so much damage. We had to actually pull our car up to the front to prohibit her from leaving. We actually, she wouldn't get out. We broke the window out, yanked her out, and ultimately arrested and charged her, worked with FHP on the crashes, and then we put our charges on her as well.
You know, there are certain times when you tell me certain incidents where I think, man, I wish Cops was filming.
I saw the body camera when we got there. A lot of the filming would have been, the video would have been prior to our arrival. A lot of
That's true. That's true. Well, I was thinking of the part where she's being gently assisted out of her own car window against her will. So, but you know, you guys have to do it. I mean, law enforcement, you've said this many times, law enforcement often isn't pretty.
It often is not. It's intimate and it is ugly at times.
And even what's the thing that you always like to say?
Don't fight us, bro.
Don't. Oh, you can't hear because you don't have headphones on. It's your line, don't fight us, bro.
Don't fight us, bro. Yeah.
So, let's see. You served a bunch of warrants, 15, I think, on a three-day warrant sweep last week?
Yeah, occasionally we start to get caught up with some of the warrants that we have. Not always very severe charges, but there's some pretty good felonies here. A lot of these were in the north end of the county. So, yeah, we did what we called a warrant sweep, made 15 arrests. charges ranging from failure to register as a sex offender to stalking, aggravated battery. And we listed, we put some pictures of some people, all 15 of them, I guess they're mug shots, no longer free to roam and terrorize Escambia County.
Good.
Because our warrant sections did a good job of picking them up.
Joshua McKay, M-C-K-A-Y, no relation, wanted for burglary of two air conditioning units and for the theft and scrapping of $30,000 worth of handrails from a business?
Yeah, the handrails were aluminum. And,
okay.
He and another guy, we talked to the other guy. The other guy says, oh, he told me that he was allowed to take them, but apparently he was not. So Joshua McKay stole a couple of air conditioners. His charges range from burglary, grand theft, dealing and trafficking in stolen property, as you talked about what he's doing with it, fraud, trespassing with intent to commit an offense, and a number of other burglary-related charges. We put his picture up there, so if anyone knows where he is, we'd like to pick him up.
And I think Studio 850 or somebody else was reporting that he just got out of prison 9 months ago, so this is a frequent flyer.
Yeah, he is not he's not a Sunday school teacher.
Okay. Not a Sunday school teacher. Well, you never know these days. So I did want to ask you, I mentioned a moment ago, but I wanted to ask you about the ruling from the Florida State Supreme Court, the knock and announce ruling. As I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, the way it has been going is that if the police are found not to have properly knocked, warned, waited for somebody to come to the door when you're serving a warrant, that the evidence secured would then be excluded at trial, and that was meant to be the deterrent. The judges ruled, or the justices ruled, that that's not working as a deterrent. Also, that's not allowed for in the law. What is allowed for in the law is a criminal violation against the deputy or the officer who does not properly knock, announce, and wait enough time for them to come to the door. And that's what they recommend, because that law has never been enacted against the law, an officer in the state of Florida in 25 years or something like that. So that's what they recommend. I asked Sheriff Johnson. He said this won't change anything that they do. I know how you guys do it. I assume it won't change anything you do because you're already following these rules, right?
Right. The rule making it a misdemeanor has been in effect for some time. We do not do what we call no-knock search warrants here in the state of Florida. We used to. We did what we call anticipatory and no-knock. If we had a guy that was selling automatic weapons, we would petition the judge years ago to do a no-knock search warrant. Because
you've been doing law enforcement for a long time.
For a day or two, yeah.
Because you're old. Because you're old.
Since the sexy legs days.
Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
So
we used to have no-knock warrants in Florida.
We used to have no-knock warrants.
Right.
We used to be able to petition and have granted or signed a no-knock warrant, but now we haven't done that in decades. However, so now you get a search warrant and you are required to knock and announce a reasonable amount of time, and that is up to the officer's discretion. There is an exigency exception here. If it's a futile gesture, you know, someone's standing right there in the doorway and you're walking up and they see you and they start to walk in, they know you're there. There's no reason to stop at the threshold of an open door and announce. They know you're there. If you look in a window and they're destroying evidence, say they're flushing drugs down the toilet, you can go ahead and announce. Usually it takes a little bit of time anyways, so that's not the issue.
And you guys even set up, like, speakers. I mean, you have it's being aired like a warning almost. You know, hey, law enforcement in the area, Escambia County Sheriff's. I mean,
I think it's a great idea.
And it not just tells that person, but tells the neighbors too what's going on. I think it's very good.
Well, I like the whole knock and announce thing. Obviously, from law enforcement, it's safer. I just know that as a citizen, I don't want someone just starting to kick in my door. You start to kick in my door and I don't know who they are, you're likely to get shot. That's just going to happen. But if you're knocking and announcing and then I can look out the window and ascertain whether you're truly law enforcement, then that's a different story.
We tend to think of it as this puts you at risk from the very dangerous people who are going to attack you from inside the house. But the much more common problem is that ordinary people, whether they're actual criminals or not, might have weapons. And if you bust into their house and they start shooting, like what happened to PPD a few years ago, is, you know, somebody gets exonerated because, you know, they were just reacting out of fear and didn't know any better. And so that's what this is meant to avoid, right?
Yeah. And I think the issue there is that the ruling affected the evidence, the suppression of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And what used to be, if you go through step one and then step two, and step one ultimately ends up being illegal, then step two is also suppressed. That
the fruit of the poisonous tree, right?
Yeah. So that's what they're saying is, no, just because they didn't knock it announced properly, if they were to not knock it announced properly, then the evidence is still good. You still charge someone with the kilo of cocaine.
Yeah.
But then the law enforcement officer may well get those charges as well. But again, it doesn't change anything. We have rules. We have policies. We go by these. I see it as a non-issue for us.
The one question I know I think people have would always be, does it affect anything for officers if they're somehow fearful of catching a criminal charge over the mere serving of a warrant? Does that compromise their ability to protect their own safety or other officers' safety in the serving of these warrants? In your opinion, the answer is no, because you already do it the right way anyway.
We do, and we evaluate every home, every threat before we have a packet together before we do every search warrant. So we know the risks and the dangers, and we also know it's better to go through this window or this door or that door. Sometimes it's better to let someone leave and stop a car on the way out.
And I mean, having watched one of these in, you know, a great briefing, lots of information, mm-hmm. you know what you're doing. You very carefully, and I'm not saying anything. I wouldn't, if I start to say something I shouldn't say, you'll stop me.
No,
but,
that's
true.
That's
the whole point is, you know exactly what's going on. You don't just walk in blindly to these situations. And that's right. An important part of the safety preparation as well. Also wanted to ask you about the shooting downtown. You guys offered help. Chief Winstrom said that you guys offered help, of course. Anything you want to say about what happened downtown or, how to police a massive crowd as early in the night of teenagers, late in the night misbehaving? I still think that I think it's best to think of it as two separate things, a shooting that took place and also the big crowds. But, you're much more into law enforcement. You used to be the chief police in Pensacola. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that's it. I've been with the Pensacola Police Department for a number of years in the past, obviously. And we've had these large crowds. We have large crowds at Pensacola Beach, large crowds at the fairgrounds. And you understand.
Pop-up parties at parks in the county.
As I understand, they knew that they're going to have a crowd. You always know you're going to have a crowd downtown for the 4th of July. And so they had all hands on deck. They had a number of different police officers. I think it's important to note that the fireworks display was at, 8:30, 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock,
like
yeah.
That. And then the shooting took place at 1 o'clock. So there was plenty of time for people to leave, right?
Right.
There's the people that choose to stay are choosing to stay for a different reason. It's no longer fireworks to me. This is my opinion. It's now you're going to go to a bar. You're going to continue to whatever you want, festivity you want to have. And unfortunately, sometimes you have people that are willing to fight, and that escalates into the shooting. I heard a lot of talking about curfews and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of curfews. I do sometimes wish that there was the same fervor that they have now for curfews with parenting and say, hey, mm-hmm. Parent, do you know where your 12-year-old is, your 11, 13-year-old? You have any idea where they're at? I'd love to make phone calls and when we talk to them, hey, do you know where little Johnny is? And they're like, oh, no, I think they're at a friend's house. That's, honestly, that's not parenting. Mm-hmm. You've got to know what's going on, and especially in today's environment. If you're not aware of what's going on, who they're with, what they're going with, and have your own curfew. Here's an idea. As a parent, say, get your butt home at 9 o'clock or at 10 o'clock or even 11 o'clock or even 12 o'clock. And this type of thing wouldn't happen. If you recall, we had something at the beach where they thought it was going to be a takeover, and a lot of those kids were 13, 14 years old, and they were Ubering. Some of them were actually Ubering to the beach or wherever this takeover is. And we told them, we're not going to do that. So I had over 30 deputies every time and told them, we're not going to, at the first sign of trouble, we're going to shut it down. We're going to put these little kiddos in jail.
Little future citizens.
To. or we'll call their parents and we'll have a discussion on what proper parenting can be.
I like that. Blue Angels is coming up. You guys are right in the middle of big preparation for that, week and a half out.
Yeah, a week and a half out. We've got not this weekend but the next, and we have a couple of days. Huge crowds have been going to the beach already. So we anticipate, of course, the weather plays a big part in it, but we anticipate a capacity crowd, right?
Yeah.
And we hope that the weather will be fine and it'll be nice and they can enjoy that. But again, we also make sure people understand there's going to be plenty of deputies there. So pack your patience or we'll pack you in the back of a car.
And you're also there for the medical things and making sure people are safe and your deputies have to stay nice and hydrated. I mean, you're wearing the, vests and gear. It's hot. I mean, it's a rough
hot,
service.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're going to pay very close attention to our people. And we work very well with our partners. We have state, federal partners there. We have, obviously, the fire department, the lifeguards. We have EMS there. And we have to make sure that we not only tell people to stay hydrated, but we do that as well. Usually we make very few arrests with regards to the number of people that are there, the crowds, because people understand, but they behave.
Yeah, they do. At least generally speaking. Sheriff Chip Simmons, is always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for keeping us safe. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Always do. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. If you need to do any kind of home improvement project or repair something or build something, or, you know, I mean, maybe you're in the building industry to begin with, Pensacola Hardware is your place. Now, yes, they have been there a while, 175 years. Like, the oldest company in the entire state of Florida is here in Pensacola. Like, it's kind of a cool thing. It's a historical landmark. Like, go look. It's a wild place. But, you know, before there was Levi's, there was Pensacola Hardware. So all of those things that you look at, these old houses that are 100 years old, like, they're young compared to Pensacola Hardware. Like, think of it that way. But nowadays, what that means for you is they have institutional knowledge. The people there really know the building industry. They know how to repair things. They know how to use stuff. They know how to use it safely. They can sell you all of the things you need, but they can also guide you in how to use it. You know, they're like the living YouTube, right? You can ask them your questions, and they will give you the great advice. And they'll say, you know, for that task, maybe not that, but maybe this over here, right? And even to the point that they care that you get the outcome you want, like, they'll sometimes, you know, oh, okay, have you ever used this product before? And you're like, well, I know, but I'm just buying it. Well, okay, here's some safety things about that product, because they want to make sure that you use it right and get the result safely, and because you may not even know that it's a dangerous thing. But that's the point. It's not just a place to get stuff at great prices. It's a place to get great people who know this and will help you, and they've been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Hurricane season is here. Is your home protected? At StormTech Shutter Systems, they provide custom hurricane protection built for the Gulf Coast, including roll-down shutters, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, storm panels, and storm fabric systems. Their professionally installed products are built to code and designed to protect what matters most. Financing options are available to help make protecting your home easy. Don't wait until the next storm is on the radar. Call today for your free estimate. StormTech Shutter Systems. Protection you can trust when it matters most.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative. Local. Dependable.
Someday we might look back on this and decide that Saving Private Ryan was the one decent thing we were able to pull out of this whole god-awful mess.
If there's air drumming to be had, or air guitar to be had, or just random dancing to the music, we're doing it. Definitely Candy and I will be doing that in here. 5:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David, oh, no, I don't in the 5 o'clock hour anymore. My fault. Interesting. Australia social media ban, you know, for teens that they've kind of put in place is essentially non-effective, unfortunately. I mean, I believe in the... I generally think that we should basically treat social media and smartphones like we do alcohol. You probably shouldn't have them until you're 21. You definitely shouldn't have them until you're, 18, probably 16 even is too young. But, we're getting there. I mean, eventually, in a couple of years, the culture will come around to where I'm at. It's already pretty heavily moving that direction. Anyway, Australia has already put this in place. Like, you have to do age verification. You're not supposed to have social media. What they found is that all kinds of accounts that are registered as 16 or 15 or 14, there's no age verification. So it's a great idea. It's just not actually being enforced by the companies that are supposed to be enforcing it. So, next step is to see what they can do to encourage that.